I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I, of course, am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who's no stranger to an online scrap. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you tonight?
I'm terrific. I feel rejuvenated and restored. I was outside, and I'm feeling strong.
Who's the last person you got into an online scrap with?
An online scrap? Probably Lynn Henning. It's always Lynn. I can't resist. There's been a few. I'm not much of a brawler. I'm more of a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, I'm more of the same way. I got into it with Ryan Field one time. It was really odd. I feel like I might have told you this story. I don't remember exactly
he's,
what it
he's
was
too
over,
pretty but. To fight. Oh,
yeah, it was very passive aggressive. I'm sure if you went deep enough into my feed, you could probably find it. It was Michigan versus Michigan State something. I don't know exactly what I said. But anyway, I bring up the whole aspect of beef because the most interesting story in this week of this week in baseball for me was the Trevor Bauer versus essentially the whole of the Houston Astros beef. For those of you,
I did not catch this. Educate me.
Really? Okay. So here's the story. Bauer responded to this. Somebody asked him a question, and Bauer responded to it. This was on Twitter. Some sort of sarcastic comment saying how many bargains you could find on the trade market if you knew you could instantly bump up a pitcher's spin rate a couple hundred RPMs. In reference to the Astros. Obviously, the insinuation here is that they are systematically using some sort of substance to, you know, bump up all these guys' spin rates. McCullers comment.
So Bauer is Bauer suggesting the guys are cheating.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where he was, and you know he's the sciencey guy. McCullers.
Bauer's?
You know, yes.
Now, I'm prejudiced already with this conversation because I assume Bauer is a dick.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Okay. Continue.
So McCullers comments back, you know, don't be so, you know, jealous, Trevor. And then Alex Bregman, this was my favorite clapback. He said something to the effect of that World Series balls spin a little bit different. And he referred to him as Tyler, which I thought was just like, that's my new favorite power move. Calling somebody who everyone knows his name by the wrong name. Yeah. I very much enjoyed that.
Like if I started calling you Jacob Hall or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it brings up an interesting point. I think Bauer makes absolutely the perfect, like, nerdy little villain. I love
he's
him
a
in
heel.
That role. Yes.
He's a total heel. I remember when he sliced his finger on his drone and everybody was like, yeah.
Yeah, he missed playoff starts because of that.
And no one shed any tears. They're like, you deserve it for being a dick.
We don't really have many great villains in baseball. I feel like he's a good one. We really don't have. I guess Puig would be a little bit of a villain. A lot of the traditional baseball folk don't super love him.
Bonds kind of was.
Yeah.
Bonds was so good. He was so good. It was hard to not be impressed with Bonds, but he was truly a heel. I heard some talk recently from reporters that Albert Pujols is kind of a jerk to reporters. Not as bad as Bonds, but like kind of mean.
That's interesting. I couldn't tell you. He's one of the greatest hitters of our generation. I couldn't tell you three facts about him. I don't know exactly how that happened, but I mean, do we know anything about Albert Pujols after him being around for 27 years?
Well, I think the most interesting thing is that it kind of is coming to light that he's probably a couple years older than his posted stats. I find that kind of fascinating. I read a whole article by, I wish I knew the reference. It was on one of these fancy fan graphs or, a thinking man's baseball website. I read the post about
how did you end up there?
Yeah, I didn't belong. Trust me. Pujols is interesting. Yeah, he's got his 3,000th hit. And speaking of fossils, you follow Ichiro?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I'm taking this year off, but next year I'm going
to
be back.
He's not retiring, but he's going to be a special assistant to not playing anymore, I guess. Somebody posted that.
The regional manager, yeah. Exactly. Going quickly back to Trevor Bauer, the thing about him is he's probably right because everyone is cheap. I mean, I watched Jose Valverde, in the bullpen slather as much pine tar as he absolutely could on his sock. Like, was not concerned in the slightest of anyone seeing him. It's kind of a cultural thing.
I think I've seen Shane Green do it. There's a couple guys that, that obviously Kenny Rogers, but there's more guys, even for our team, who do it. And it's kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod. No manager is going to bust the opponent because their guys do it. And I heard somebody, who was it? Oh, we're doing this as a safety measure for the batters. And I was like, oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate glass house, situation. Yeah. And what's wrong with it? Like, the best part of baseball is nasty breaking balls. Like, that is, I mean, personally anyway, that's the best thing about baseball. And if you can make them even nastier by having a little extra on there, by all means.
I think Major League Baseball should provide a tube of whatever. And if it's a pine tar or a little bit of stickum or whatever it is, and like you may use up to point something ounces of this stuff, and that is it. Then, like, everybody has it. You all may use it. If there's anything else besides that, we're going to bust you. Like, we don't want any of that. But to keep it level, to me, is the big thing.
Yeah. It's just like Rick Steve says about marijuana. If you make it legal and you regulate it, then you can tax it.
Are you suggesting we tax?
I don't know.
You lost me a little bit, but sure. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, brings us to this week's leadoff question. What is your all-time favorite baseball beef / actual fight?
For me, it's easy. It's when Robin Ventura charged the mound against Nolan Ryan. Because at the time, I love Nolan Ryan. And he just puts him in a headlock and starts like punching his skull. That's my favorite. It's just a complete beatdown of Robin Ventura. How about you?
My favorite is actually fairly similar. Maybe other than the Mags home run,
I have another one.
Maybe my favorite baseball memory as a child was Don Zimmer charging Pedro Martinez and him just giving him the classic ole. I mean, it's not good to beat up on old people. Like, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but watching the old dude tumble to the ground never isn't is always funny. I got lost in my own double negatives there, but it's always funny.
The other one that just dawned on me was when Michael Barrett, I think that was his name, cold-cocked AJ Pierzynski square in his face.
And nothing has ever been more satisfying.
He has a very punchable face. And that was a moment of satisfaction when Barrett punched him in the face.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. I feel like I've thrown this out a couple times, But should I change my Twitter handle to Jordinho4 also?
Like, no. No.
Would that make more synergy?
No, it's not exotic. It's faux exotic. No, just it's fine. You can do two different things.
Okay. All right.
Just leave it.
And go ahead.
I've been big into like the Beatles lately for some reason. I've watched the Beatles anthology. And Paul McCartney used to be known as Paul Ramone in his early days because it sounded, you know, exotic. Come on, it's Paul McCartney. It's fine. You're Jordan Hall. You don't need it's fine.
Okay. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And as I say every week, if you do leave us a review, take a screenshot of it and tweet it at us and make it funny, and we'll read it out on the next week's show in appreciation. We have a review. This one comes from, the name is Troya One, who I'm assuming is the better of the Troya
the
brothers.
The better Troya, obviously. Yeah.
By the way, happy birthday yesterday to both of the Troya, well, all three, technically, of the Troya brothers. Hope you guys had wonderful days.
Hope you consumed the power of your quintuplet in the womb. I hope that worked out for you. I'm assuming, there was a fourth one that they absorbed the powers of in utero.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Things have gotten weird real fast, but I'll move on. The title is "Hey Guys." It's a 5-star review, and the body of it is something funny, which is cheeky.
Oh, I get it. It's very meta.
It is very meta. You know how we love being meta on this show. We're nothing if not meta.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannos.
It's been another perfectly mediocre week for the Tigers. Like, we started out the year doing the weird, like, one amazing – well, I say amazing. One decent week followed by an awful week, back to a good week, and now an awful week. But we've actually settled into kind of this groove where every week we're just slightly below 500, which is fine. Like, that's our thing. We are still 2.5 games out of first place, though. I mean, the playoffs are right there. You just got to reach out and grab it.
No, the playoffs are not just right there. The AL Central is a mess. Is it not a mess?
It is so
it's
bad.
It's crazy. So let's do a little recap since I have it pulled up. Mm-hmm. The Indians are leading the division at 500. They are 17-17. That leads the AL Central by 2 games. The Twins are 13-17. Somehow the Indians have played 4 more games than the Twins. Is that right?
Probably. I mean, you know the weather from this spring. Yeah. I'd assume that Minnesota has similar weather does.
Yeah. The Tigers are 14-19, 2.5 games back. The Royals are 11-23. Of those 11 wins, how many are against us? 5?
5? Yeah, I mean, that was what I was immediately
if the
thinking.
Royals didn't play us, they would be awful.
And vice versa, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, speaking of awful, we have the White Sox, who have won 9 games. They are 9-23. So, it's just a comedy. It's bad. I mean, the Indians are, in their last 10, are 3-7. They've hit a rough patch.
At what point do we think everyone is so bad? Maybe we have an outside chance.
We don't. I mean, we don't think that.
Would you have said, you know, May 1, we're 2 games
two
out?
2 games out?
I mean, that's one more month than I thought we were going to stay with the pack.
It's a fake 2 games out. We're still 4 games under 500.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're not going to make the playoffs. It's just...
No. That's fun to think about.
Longer, it's like those mid-major upsets in the tournament. The longer you don't kill it off, the longer you let them stick around, the more confidence. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're not going to make the playoffs. But the longer we stick around, the more fun we're going to have.
Right. And it's fun to not be the laughing stock of the league. To be above the fray a little bit. I mean, the Onion had some article, and it was at the expense of the White Sox. The Marlins are all constantly being made fun of. We're in the lower half of the middle section
that's fair.
Teams. And that's better than being at the bottom.
That is true. So something that will probably help take us to the bottom. We lost Miggy this week. It wasn't the bicep. It was the hamstring. He's on the DL. Do you like the way that we're replacing him? It's been a whole lot of Hicks, a little bit of Nico.
I don't know. I do like Hicks. But we saw today that there was a bit of an issue with Hicks defensively with some base running issues. I mean, the guys are all a little bit out of position. You know, we're asking Nico to play a variety of positions, but there's going to be some problems with that. He's not an experienced utility guy. We've kind of put him in that role because of lack of better options. I mean, what's the alternative? You call up a Ducey, I guess. I mean, is that so much better than mixing these people in? Probably not.
Probably not. I mean, you'd have to make a 40-man move to have a Ducey be available. But a Ducey is raking down at Toledo. I mean, here's the thing with a Ducey. All he does is hit. I mean, like we've talked, we're not gonna challenge for the division, and I don't know that it really matters if a Ducey is up or not, but.
This is an embarrassing confession. Mm-hmm. Ducey, he can play first.
Yes.
He?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because they have Huffman too. Mm-hmm. Chad Huffman. because Ducey to me is the perfect. I mean, Ducey is the preferred go to because he's hitting so well.
Yeah, and he has a track record of hitting at the big league level too.
Right. Griner got it, but they called up Griner. He can do some catching for you. And then Hicks at first. Griner got his first hit today. That was kind of fun. It was cute.
Yeah.
It was adorable to see his family and all that stuff.
I know that this is, it's not important and it's not pertinent, but that's what the show is about. He got his first major league hit wearing those awful throwback jerseys today. Like,
I don't. Do you think he cares about that at all?
I don't know. There's all these pictures of him, you know, smiling, first hit everything, and they all look like scrubs. I don't know. Like I said, it's not pertinent. It's just, I think it's.
They weren't. They're a Negro League. Jerseys.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It isn't just
I think they're cool. Yeah. I think they're fine.
I think
the Detroit Stars.
I think they're played at this point. We've seen them so many times.
All right, here's a question for you and. I'm not asking the right person, but I think the Detroit Stars like gear and shirts and stuff are cool. Like as a white man, I mean, is that appropriate to wear Negro League stuff or is that like kind of out of bounds or?
That's a really good question.
I'd have to ask somebody of African American.
Yeah. I mean, if you were asking me about like a Filipino league, I would be the guy to give you insight, but I don't know. I really don't.
So if you have an opinion on that, shoot that over. I'm curious to see that because I think it's cool stuff, but I wouldn't want to like, you know, be disrespectful at all.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. I think it's cool.
It's very hashtag woke of you. Okay, we're rambling. All right, let's get back to Miggy.
I'm super woke.
What if I told you that Miguel Cabrera was under contract until 2023?
Cool.
I'm going to be basically middle-aged by then. Kanye is going to be in the third year of his first presidential term. Right. Things are like, okay, so when we gave Miggy this, you know, a million-year contract worth all the money, you know, in the state of Michigan, it was kind of a lifetime achievement contract.
Yep.
It's going to be terrible on the back end. Yet somehow I'm still actually kind of okay with it. Like – he gave us so much in the prior contract that, you know, he so drastically outperformed that contract and he's underperforming in this contract. We knew the back end was going to get ugly. I'm weirdly okay with it. Like, we're going to get what we're going to get from him. I think we need to manage him a little bit better. But I almost give Dombrowski a pass for that one just because he's a legend and – do you want to see him end his career in pinstripes or somewhere else like that? Like
no. Well, you buy yourself a Hall of Famer, right? I don't know what that's worth. He's going to have a statue out in the outfield. There's something to be said about continuity. This is your guy. He's play, you know, we've adopted him. He is a Tiger. Having said all of that, it's still a bad contract, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just from purely baseball perspective. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Now, when Victor is done this year, I mean, he can slide into that DH role. I mean, you're going to get a lot of longevity out of him. You hope he turns into Big Poppy, right? Yeah. And has a lot of years ahead of him. But the troubling thing is he keeps getting dinged, right?
I think it'll be amazing to see the difference once he moves to the DH. Just being on your feet. I mean, he hasn't played 162 games in a while, but being on your feet all game, every single day. Like, I mean, that's just it's taxing. I think once he moves to the DL or it's Freudian slip there. Once he moves to the DH, I do think that there's going to be a little bit of positive body regression. I think he's gonna he's gonna stay a little bit healthier, but he can't play two out of three games at the very most. I like Gardenhire's theory about when you're giving him off days that he should be on the road, but he does need more off days when he comes back, especially right now when we're just not very, like, the lineup we put up today was terrible, but add Miggy to that and it's still terrible. Like, there isn't really all that much of a difference.
It's so hard though, because you're playing 162 games. You're paying a guy $30 million, and it's like, oh, we have him, and we're just gonna give him a rest. Well, I don't know what the math is on that, but that's like in $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 concession. Like, oh yeah, we're just not gonna use that what we've spent on his services for that game.
But
you know what I'm saying?
If you rest him for one game and he performs better in the next two games, I mean, the math can work there. And it's you can't, like, tangibly quantify how much he plays. I mean, I suppose you could look at batting average coming off of rest or whatever like that. But the gains, I guess, would be tough to put your finger on it. But like you say, with him turning into Big Poppy, in theory – the thing about Miggy that I'm okay with, you know, having him long term, is that the hit tool is never going to go away. Obviously, he started the year a little bit cold, but the bat to ball skills are so next level that even when the bat slows down, he's still going to hit for upper, 280s, 290s. You know, the power might fade a little bit, but the hit tool, the eye contact or hand eye coordination shouldn't ever dissipate, I wouldn't think.
Well, I mean, you look at how banged up Victor is, how much catching he did. You know, he's 39 years old and all this stuff, and he's still hitting 258 with some power. I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. Like you say, all the miles on that body. Speaking of, I was out at my grandpa's on Friday, and we were watching the Tigers game. And my grandpa is the nicest guy in the world. Like, I've never heard him say a mean thing about anybody. Victor comes up, and I think it was the second inning, and he's like, I don't know if it's just me, but in all the years that we've had Victor, I can't ever remember him doing anything. Just completely dogging. And then I think he went 3 for 4 or something that night.
Sure.
But my grandpa, who loves everyone, just does not like Victor Martinez. It was really funny. Yeah.
I mean, he's a little forgettable, I guess, but
yeah.
Anyway, what else we got?
Speaking of, let's move on to Jordan Zimmermann. Seven scoreless against Tampa, 5 scoreless and a win against Kansas City, 5 strikeouts in each. I posed the question
to
you.
After we dogged him on the last podcast. Oh, we thought he was done and all this stuff.
Well, to be fair, he is done. But does he not suck all of a sudden?
Evidently, he's gotten over his sucking, and now he's good.
That feels a little too straightforward. I don't doubt that Bazio worked some magic, but let's just put it this way. I'm enjoying the starts that we've got from him the last two times, but if he absolutely blows up his next time out, I would not be surprised in the slightest.
Yeah, it's true.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's move on to your beef of the week.
Beef of the week. This weekend, I went up north. Now, up north is a very general term, right? I went up, I took US 131 northward. It's not as up north as you are, but anyway, heading up north. And on 131, which is the major expressway out of Grand Rapids, there is construction, as happens. Are you familiar with construction?
I've seen it, yeah.
Now, you don't really have any expressways in Traverse City, but I'm sure you've traveled them. Anyway,
yes.
So the construction is narrowing the road down from two lanes to one lane. And as it happens, there is a sign that says, left lane closed 2 miles ahead, or 2 miles ahead, left lane closed, right? And then you get one mile, and then you have to merge right because the left lane is closed, right? Mm-hmm. So it is a fairly busy time. There's a lot of cars on the road. So we approach, I'm driving north, and we approach the first sign, left lane closed 2 miles ahead. And as things are kind of progressing, well, I'll slide over to the right, as do many other vehicles. But it's still 2 miles ahead-ish. So there's other vehicles who are continuing on the left lane for as long as they can. Well, right in front of me is a black SUV with a Georgia plate. They have decided that they are going to be the merge police. Are you familiar with this?
I am.
So they slid over across the dotted line, mm-hmm. and are occupying the center line, so somebody cannot easily go past. Well, other travelers are coming, and they see this guy in the center, and the merge is not for two more miles. They want to go past. And they attempt to pass Georgia Boy on the left. Well, Georgia Boy is having none of this.
Of course.
It's time to merge. So he swerves to the left, and the passer swerve. I mean, there was almost a collision. Not only one, but two or three different automobiles have encountered Georgia Boy at this point. And meanwhile, I'm taking it in, and I've decided this is not worth it for me. I'm not going to get in a wreck, and I don't want to be any part of this. So I'm lagging back. And so they're all kind of cutting ahead of me. So my beef is, I understand that etiquette usually would prescribe that you would cut over when you it will move over when you see the sign, but you don't have to merge until it says merge. So don't be a jerk and like enforce the etiquette of moving over to the right, and especially if it's going to get you in a wreck. That just seems stupid.
I feel like you can tell a lot about that person's personality just from watching that.
Yeah,
and I don't think that their personality would mesh very well with mine.
So now, the ideal way, if the Michigan Department of Transportation is listening,
which they are, obviously,
yeah, you need to move to all zipper merges, they call it.
Yes.
So you're taking both lanes, and it can be right to left or right, but don't say which one. This is going to be a zipper merge. In both, you're going to progress to the end, and then when it's time to merge, every other, That is absolutely fine. That I've seen that one other time in Michigan. I thought that was the best way to handle it, because I'm sure that there's people listening to me right now who are saying, oh, you know, oh, that guy should enforce when you see the sign move over. And then there's other people say, oh, no, you wait until the very end to merge. Like, I'm not picking a side, but don't be a dick. Yeah. That's my beef of the week.
That's a good one.
And where do you fall? Where are you, an early merger or a late merger?
Okay, so I'll see the sign, and I'll keep an eye open for a chance to merge. That's where I fall. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the guy who's waiting till the very last second. I'm not going to cut someone off to merge at the very first sign, though. And I'm definitely not going to be the merge police. Just here's the thing: when it comes to just life in general, just do you. Like, don't worry about everyone else and if they're breaking, you know, these imaginary rules. Just focus on yourself.
You don't need to enforce.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my thing. Okay, that's it.
Speaking of let's move on to fire takes from below the line.
Oh, this will be good.
Yeah, still haven't seen anything interesting on the side of the road. I've been looking. I've done a lot of running recently, but
you need to lower your standards,
I guess.
I saw a leaf.
The thing is there's just only so many different little bits of crap that are on the side of the road, and we got.
So you want more littering? Actually,
I guess we got a lot of mileage out of that segment last year. I think we might be near the end of the road, so to speak. If you don't know about fire takes from below the line, I troll the internet boards. I look under articles. Most of them are about tigers. I have one that is not about tigers, and I look at the fire comments that people will leave on the various articles. So here we go. The first one comes from – apparently the Tigers are doing recap episodes on Facebook. This one is from Saturday. The comment is, Zimmerman having 5 scoreless innings is like all the planets in the universe align, getting struck by 5,000 bolts of lightning and winning every lottery in existence all at the same time.
For 5 innings?
5 innings. Yeah.
I mean, a complete game shutout, maybe.
Not even a full quality start, just 5 scoreless.
They're dogging Zim more than we are.
Yeah, that's true. So if Zimmerman is going to like put a ice fishing hook through someone's throat, it's probably going to be theirs, not ours. Yep. The next one, this was after the bullpen blew the lead on Friday. I believe this was under a Bless You Boys article. So the original comment was, Stumpf should be, just be, no B-E, just the letter B, on a plane to Toledo within the hour. Here's the thing. I don't know if you're real great with geography, but you probably don't need to fly from Detroit to Toledo. Right.
So I've seen a couple of things. I saw a tweet saying that they should release Candelario. Yeah, I don't know the exact context. So that was one. And Matt Manning had a kind of a troubling start. And, you know, he should have it pulled together. He's horrible. We wasted a pick on him. He dude had like one bad outing. And I think it was Hook slide kind of ran to his defense. He said, dude, he's like 20 years old. He's in single A ball. He's figuring it out. And somebody was like, no, he's a man. He's 20. He should have it put together. And I thought that was pretty bad.
And literally anyone he gets out, he strikes out. That's all he does is strike people out.
He's pretty crazy.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, going back to this one, the same guy commented, it was like the unit of measurement of time was in days. So I'm not exactly sure how much longer, you know, how long it took to post again. But he commented not on his same comment, just another rando comment below. But it obviously, you know, he says that he should be on a plane within the hour. His next comment is, and they should make Jimenez walk, all in walk being in all caps.
Come on. Now, these people aren't, I'm assuming they're not serious, right? Like, they don't really think Stump should, this is hyperbole, right? Maybe? Is it?
You've been on the internet. It's not hyperbole.
It's true. People are dumb.
People are dumb. Okay, next one was a Bless You Boys article. The comment or the title was, How would you fix the game? You know, talking about baseball.
Yeah, okay.
The response was, I love baseball. I really do. But why, oh, why is there so much eating and spitting and chewing? Can they not go 4 hours without their mouths full of something?
Okay. Yeah. Fair question, I suppose.
Not something that keeps me up at night, but I suppose maybe that is an annoyance for someone.
I don't want to generalize too much, but it seems to me that women are very aware of, like, the more gross parts of baseball, like the spitting and the stuff. My wife will point that out. They're like, why are they doing that? That's gross.
This comment was by a woman, in case okay. you were wondering. All right, two more. The first one, this was...
There goes my wokeness, by the way. That's totally good.
The first one, the next one was from... Tigers post after his base hit. This is the Tigers post after his base hit today. Grayson Griner joined Nicholas Castellanos and James McCann as the Tigers to record their first career hit versus the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. The first comment is, "Oh, great! Now we can order our playoff tickets."
Like, you just have to get that in there. Like, you're gonna poo on this guy's day with that comment.
And the last one, this is from the Free Press. The article was Justify runs away with the Kentucky Derby win. And the comment was, the minute they took off, I said that red one really wants to race. He's in it to win it. And he did.
That's some good horse analysis right there.
How did they not take Vegas to the cleaners with horse knowledge like that?
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
We have a lot of Twitter questions this week.
We do. We're going to have to move quickly. All right.
Specifically because we asked for a lot of them because we were dogging on the Tigers.
The first one is from Jeremy Husby. He says, my buddy at Nick Wisniewski just started being followed on Instagram by Brennan Bosch. Is it valid for him to be hyped about it?
Yeah. He's got that little cove out in Comerica, Bosch's Notch out there. Brendan Bosch, that should be hype about that.
Yeah, I would be. I mean,
he was a pretty boy. All the ladies loved him.
Did they? Is he sure. Is he good looking, dude? I wouldn't say so.
Evidently,
not a particularly good looking guy. I mean, he's not ugly.
In a surfer
kind
of way. Yeah, yeah. He's fine.
He's no Norris.
I know. I knew one Twitter user in particular who was a big Bosch fangirl.
Interesting. All right. At David J. Ham, whose name is just David Ham, asked us, hammer time. Question for the next podcast. I think we've seen enough of Verhagen. Whoa. You don't need to come in with that.
That means Eric, maybe.
Enough of Verhagen and Bell. Besides the obvious veteran, Blaine Hardy. Okay, you're back in my good graces. Who else should get a bullpen shot with the Tigers?
I mean, we've seen Barbaro, or whatever his name is, Barbato.
That's the one that I was actually going to say. Barbato had the one outing. He was terrible. Don't get me wrong. It was an awful outing. But we haven't seen him again. He's the one guy that was down in Toledo that was actually having good success. We've seen Buck like seven times since the last time that Barbato blew up. I want to see him again. I watched him, you know, throw a bullpen in down at Florida, and that's a live arm. Like, there's halfway decent stuff there.
Nobody really excites me. Oh, the one guy who excites me is the is it Schreiber? The submariner?
Yep. He's the other guy, Erie, right? Right now?
Yeah, he's not in Toledo, yeah. He's the other guy I'd be excited about.
He's going to be up at some point this year, I would assume. And I do think there's a little bit of future there.
He was dominant last year for the Caps.
Yeah, he was great in spring training. He was always the guy that they brought along in case somebody couldn't finish their inning. He got into quite a few games and did really well.
He got hit pretty hard one game, but he's intriguing. He's fascinating to me because of the arm angle.
Getting hit hard in one game, does that not sound like the Tigers bullpen? He'll fit right in.
Perfect. Yeah.
Ed Miller asks us, it seems that most of our arms, in air quotes, actually in real quotes because it's written, are in the lower minors. How close might they be?
2 years?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to go.
Are you
going to
see like a guy like Perez this year? I don't think so. I think you won't see Burrows. I mean,
if Perez had started the season healthy, I think there would have been a halfway decent chance of him getting at least a September call up. But no, I don't see any of them making their debut this year.
None of the big four.
I would say that even as many as three of them might have an outside chance of winning a rotation spot next year, like next spring. I see
big four with maybe a fifth, and that is Burrows, Manning, Perez, and Fieto. And then to me, Funkhauser is kind of a half.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
And we might as well start throwing Casey Mize in there. It is nailed on.
I keep seeing his name bantied about, so I'm assuming it's going to be.
He's a big, hard throwing righty from the SEC. Is there anything more Tigers than that?
No, nothing.
I guarantee you, he is that. He is the pick. We should ask Emily about that next time she comes on.
Yeah.
D-Kick Hoonigan asks us, why did you guys spend 5 minutes of the last episode talking about British royalty? The Tigers might be boring, but they're not that boring. Please refund me those 5 wasted minutes of my life.
Okay. Every dime you spent has now been refunded to you. Okay. All right.
See, here's the thing, D-Kick Hoonigan. We're now talking about them again because you've re-brought them up.
Way to botch it. Also, this is we're like Renaissance men, okay? We know everything about everything.
Yeah, we are extremely cultured. And don't forget about that.
You get a lot of breadth, not a lot of depth, friends.
Kerbo 1123 asks us, this was the right season to have a kid and be preoccupied with her instead of baseball, right?
Yeah, you should breed. People, breed.
Is that the key to like life timing? Is see when your team is going to be irrelevant and then cram a lot of life into those years so that once they are relevant again, you can go ahead and just check back out from life and watch the Tigers.
All sexual activities should be oriented around your favorite team for sure. I think that's accurate.
At Sean Fagan 4 asks us top 3 favorite summer barbecue food items. I feel like you're going to have some sort of fire takes on this one.
Kebabs. I like kebabs on the grill.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I like brats. Now, start your brats inside with in some beer, kind of boil them in some beer. Because otherwise, if you're just cooking them completely on the grill, you're not going to have much success. All right. And then steaks. Yeah. Just steaks.
Yeah.
Okay. All the other stuff is too hard. Like, I love, like, ribs, like baby-backed ribs. But you got the oven and you got sauce. And I can never get them right. I don't have a smoker. I don't want to make it a hobby. I want to heat food and then I want to eat it.
Yeah, here's why all of your, not all of them, many of your things are wrong. Giant hunks of meat are bad. They just are. Steak, bad. Hunks of chicken, bad. Like, I want my chicken breaded and fried and served with ranch and honey mustard. That's how I want my chicken. Hot dogs.
You're the kind of guy who orders chicken tenders at an adult restaurant, don't you?
Yes, I am.
Like a grown.
My birthday dinner would be Texas Roadhouse getting the chicken critters there. Which if you are a chicken tender connoisseur like I am, Texas Roadhouse has the absolute goat chicken tenders. They're called chicken critters, and they're great.
You are a large child.
I am. My eating habits are definitely that of a child. The biggest thing that I want at a barbecue is going to be chips. There's no getting around that. But I run a lot, so it's fine. I mean, that's pretty much why I run.
Great.
Okay, next one comes from Dave Cards to Trade, or at Dave Cards to Trade. He asks, are the Nutella egg rolls worth finding at Comerica?
I'd pursue one. I haven't had one yet, but when I'm there, and I'll be there Saturday, I'm going to the game, so I'll have live. I don't know. A team.
Fair
baseball
enough.
Team. Is that bad that I don't know? I could look it up here quickly.
It doesn't matter.
It looks like the Mariners.
Oh.
No, it's not. What? I don't know. It's a week from today. 20th. Maybe not a week from today.
Well, today is Sunday. If you're going on Saturday, it's not a week from today.
Right. I don't even know.
It's fine.
I'm lost. Okay. Where was I? I would go pursue the. I like Nutella, as most normal healthy people do.
I'm gonna crap on Nutella one more time. It's garbage. No, don't get that. Go get yourself some shawarma nachos because they are so good, so good, so good.
Shawarma nachos. Okay.
Okay. So Chinny. At Chinny's Twits asks us, what kind of tube meats do you get at games? Hot dogs, brats, Polish / Italian sausage.
If I'm at a ball game, I'm typically just get a hot dog. The brats are fine, but they're not like really good. They're not like quality good brats. Then if you're just junking it anyway, you might as well just junk it all the way and go hot dog. That's my take.
Honestly, I take a good hot dog over a good brat.
Okay.
But that's just me. I don't necessarily have any extra fire takes to go along with that. No. N. Wisniewski asks us, if there was only one place /attraction/event in Michigan that you could recommend to an out-of-towner, what would it be? And then number one to stay away from.
See, I like having multiple things to go and visit. So I would definitely recommend like downtown Holland, downtown Grand Rapids, because you have meal options. There's museums. There's things to go see. If you're in Holland, you could, do the farmer's market, go to New Holland. If you're in Grand Rapids, you can go to Founders. You can catch, the museums and stuff like that. So I like downtowns and activity like that, I guess. If I were to say stay away from Tulip Time. It's just so packed and busy. You're not going to enjoy yourself. I heard today that at the Marriott downtown Holland on A Street during Tulip Time is $600 a night for a standard room.
Yeah, stuff crazy. The hotels in Traverse City during Cherry Festival are the same way.
It has to be insane there.
Yes, it is, which is my number one stay away from. I love Traverse City, but don't bother from like the 25th of June till August 1st. Like
just go at a different time.
Yeah.
It's nice other times.
The number one attraction, I don't know if it's still there. It probably isn't because I remember this from when I was a kid. But in the UP somewhere, there is a bear that you can give pop and like breakfast cereal too, and it'll drink and eat it. And I remember this as a kid being
I'm familiar with the bear place. I forget the name of it, but
it's I think it's Oswald's or something like that.
Yes, that's the name.
It's not that one because I think they're kind of reputable. I think that was this one was just a dude that had a bear. I mean, most likely that bear has died from diabetes since I was there as a child, but that was just the coolest thing. So if he's still alive, that's your answer.
Yeah, when I was young, on Highway 2 going to the UP, we'd always have to stop at the deer ranch. And yeah, they have deer in a pen, and you could feed them carrots.
Yeah, the one that has the going across.
The giant, fiberglass deer it.
Yeah.
I think everybody stops there.
Yeah, there's albino deer there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on right on US 2 or whatever.
Isn't it on 94?
No.
Okay, we're talking about different places.
Okay.
Jeremy Troya asks us, what would you name your Kentucky Derby horse? I'd have to go with something Seinfeld related, obviously.
Do you have one or not?
I should have looked at these earlier. I feel like I would be a very good horse namer, but nothing's coming to me off the top of my head.
I would have something very punny.
I'm sure you would.
So my favorite horse name, and there's a clip with it, there was a horse named Hoof. Hearted, like hoof hearted, and I thought that was hilarious. But otherwise, I mean, it'd be something like Horse and Wells, or you're like, all right, how about Philly Vanilli?
There you go, that one's better.
Philly Vanilli,
mm-hmm.
How about Pony Gwyn?
Oh my gosh,
no,
no,
yes, no,
no, I mean, it's good.
How about Barbaromine. No. Trot Nixon?
Trot Nixon. I don't know. There we go. That's the winner. That's the winner. Definitely.
I don't know. If I had some more time, I'd come up with good horse names. But
yeah.
It'd be something punny.
Dr. Martin Van Nostrand. David Nowoszewski asked us, World Cup Final Four predictions. It's getting there. We should do like a World Cup preview show. Would you be down for that?
You assume I know anything about soccer. I watch Newcastle and that's it.
Okay, so maybe we don't do one of those.
I'm taking chalk. I'm taking Germany, Brazil, Spain, and my one dark horse wild card, Uruguay.
Really? They're terrible now.
Uruguay. Got Suarez yet?
They have Suarez and Cavani. Yeah. Okay. Maybe they're not terrible. That's okay. So here we go. France, obviously. Belgium, led by Lukaku. Give me Germany, and I'm going to go with Egypt as my dark horse to get to the Egypt. Final Four, behind the best player in the world. Yeah, you heard that right. I don't like Liverpool, but I have a large soft spot for Mo Salah. He is just incredible. And as of right now, give me France to win it all.
French are soft.
They got Tony Martial. That's my boy. All right. David Cook 1959 asks us, should we call our division the AL Comedy Central?
Hey-o!
Anthony Troya asks us, can they just call up Stewart already?
It'll be time before too long. He'll have a chance.
But as of right now, Jacoby is still treading water.
Good.
I don't know.
Who comes first? Mikey Matuk or Kristen Stewart?
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. I'm going to go Mikey because he's on the 40, man. I don't think Stewart is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be neck and neck. Michael Litzner asks us, do you have a favorite non-Michigan-based beer?
Yeah, 90 Minute by Dogfish Head.
Okay.
Or anything by Russian River, like Pliny the Elder. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I drink a lot of Michigan beers because you can find it everywhere around here. So you get it a lot. I did just today have a Hialeah. They sell that now around in Michigan from Cigar City Brewing out of Tampa. So whenever you go to Florida, you get Hialeah because that's kind of the go-to IPA down there. But now they have it in Michigan. But otherwise, Dogfish Head is always like super solid. I get stuff from there. I like this.
All right. David Fleiss. At Fleiss Dave asked us, if you could trade for one prospect / young player, who would it be?
I know who it would be. Vlad Jr.
Yes. Dude is a monster. I really like Fernando Tatis Jr. too. I watched him play down in Fort Wayne last summer. Mm-hmm. If you were building a ball player, it would look just like Fernando Tatis Jr. He looks like Victor Reyes, except for he actually has the talent to go with the stature. And he doesn't
show me your Tatis.
Oh, jeez.
That's what we want.
And obviously I would take Acuna if given the option to. He's okay. He also asked, this is for you, craft the perfect disc golfer after four players whose drive, approach, putt, and clutchness would you take?
Ooh. So to me, the best putter is still Paul McBeth.
Obvs.
You know, he's been a couple years away from a champ, but man, the dude just knows how to putt. Paul McBeth, Wysocki's good too, but I still like McBeth. For driving at any kind of distance play, I like Eagle McMahon. His ace got on SportsCenter. I mean, that's not a long throw for him. I mean, he's throwing like 350 forehands on just like a flick. It's crazy. The dude can bomb. He throws just monster rollers. Eagle McMahon for my drives. Pretty much approaches an all-around game. I still like Wysocki. Ricky Wysocki is so good. He has that harp, and he just throws it forehand. He can throw it backhand. He can get in all kinds of spots and just park it. So all-around game is still Ricky Wysocki. I mean, those are the three best players in the game right now. I mean, Sexton had a nice little run there, and he's kind of the grandpa and a kind of a good heartwarming story, but the other three guys are still better.
Yeah, I agree with all that. At Dania, just Dania OB, she asks, on a scale of 1 to heat stroke, how necessary is the kayak beer tour in Traverse City? I personally have never done this, but there are so many amazing breweries in Traverse City. And the kayak tour is the perfect way of doing it. Like, if you haven't and you're into beer, which I'm not, but if you are,
do you paddle to like Right Brain and you paddle to something else?
Yeah, and you're on the bay the whole, like, it's it's, I would imagine, so if you're into that, it's many fire emojis. You just kind of beach your kayaks and whatnot.
But you have to go, or do they have like special like tent set up, or do you go to the physical buildings or where they are? Or?
I mean, they do them every day, so I'm assuming you kind of go into the physical buildings.
Oh,
yeah.
You have my attention.
Yeah, you should come up and see me.
I should.
You've been to my town like 7 times since we've met, and you have. We haven't ever actually.
Whenever I show
actually
up there, you're gone. Yeah.
Usually I'm down in your neck of the woods. That's just how it works. Hookslide asks us, at Hookslide23, what's the right cereal to milk ratio? I like just enough milk to moisten the cereal, maybe 6-to-1 cereal to milk. But some people like it closer to 2-to-1 or even 50-50. I think that's just too much milk.
Well, that's because you're wrong. I like a lot of milk in my cereal. I want to drench every morsel of cereal in a lot of milk. I want it just a little bit soggy. And I like to drink the milk after I'm done eating the cereal, because I like the essenced, cereal essenced milk, especially if you get like something like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That is vulgar.
You know, you get that nice cinnamon milk after you're done. It's so good. It's wasteful not to drink the milk. What are you going to do? Pour it out?
Dump it out and get yourself.
No, you drink it.
If you have to drink milk, which is just disgusting to begin with, but if you have to drink it, just get yourself some clean milk.
No.
Or just drink milk.
No. It's like flavored milk. It's the best.
Ugh. No, you have lost my respect.
And that's why I eat cereal with a big spoon, because you get more milk with the piece of cereal that you're eating. I want wet cereal. If you're just having dry cereal, what if you just eat it out of the box and, you know, it's going to just wreck your hard palate with abrasiveness. You need milk.
For me, it depends on the cereal. For whatever reason, like it – The only two cereal I eat are Reese's Puffs and Frosted Flakes. Reese's Puffs,
decent choices.
I want those a little soggier, just because they're so hard to begin with.
Yeah.
Whereas Frosted Flakes, once they wilt, like, they're just like, you know, floppy dead fish. I want those a little bit crispier.
Yeah, you got to eat at the right pace.
Yeah. But that being said, I don't eat very much cereal. I love cereal. We just don't eat it too much. It doesn't sustain you.
I used to eat a ton of cereal, but then I discovered Greek yogurt, and I like Greek yogurt with granola in it.
Aw, that's nice. It helps your lady parts poop.
Hey, you know, defecating is an important part of the day, Hall.
I mean, I can argue with you there. Sometimes you got to make. Adam Langworthy asks, what's wrong with the people who don't believe that Verner's is the superior ginger ale?
If given the choice, I'd probably buy Seagram's.
100% honest, I don't think I've ever purchased a ginger ale. I've drank it, but I've never on purpose said, you know what, I'm going to get myself some ginger ale.
You know what's super goofy is I usually drink ginger ale when I'm flying. Like if I'm on an airplane and they're coming by with a little cart and I'm like, oh, I'll have ginger ale. Otherwise, I almost never drink it.
That's really curious. All right, the last one
it's different.
The last one from Ryan Blevins says power went out for 7 hours Friday. Power ranked the best activities to do when the power's out.
Well, number one, we really can't talk about and keep it. You know, this is a PG. Power goes out. It's a perfect time to, enhance your relationships. your relationship, hopefully. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm understanding sure. what you're saying here. Yes, I think we all understand.
Number two is look at your phone, because that's the last charge, right? What are you going to do, break down and read a book by candlelight?
Yeah. No, I mean, there is essentially nothing good to do when there's no power.
What are you going to do, talk to your fellow man?
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, maybe you could go out and till your field. I mean, is that what we're doing as soon as we lose power? That ends the Twitter questions for this week. We got to all of them. We asked you guys for a lot, and you guys came through, which is good, because the Tigers, to be honest, didn't really give us much this week. So you guys came through. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And I got to be honest with you, Eric, I have that part memorized now. I didn't even have to read that from the script. We're, 74 episodes in, and I don't even need to read it anymore.
You are a talent. You are a giant among men.
Yeah. I do have one story for you. If you've made it through 58 and a half minutes of this nonsense, I have a story to reward you guys. I saw this on Facebook today, and it was on the side, so like, you know, in the news, so you know it has to be true. But apparently a Colorado woman was arrested today. Apparently she was warming something up in a container in a microwave at 7-Eleven, and the container exploded. And it turned out what she was warming up in that container was urine.
You know, at a 7-Eleven, does that really surprise you?
It does not. Well, the only thing that surprises me is that this event didn't happen in Florida.
That is a very Florida thing. Florida man would be all over that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to an hour of this nonsense. Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
No.
All right. That being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.